I'm going to read this morning from the book of Joshua, so if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn there to the first chapter. We're coming to that interesting time of year. If you follow any sort of news feeds or online blogs or even Facebook, you're going to be inundated over the next few days with one of two things, or probably both, in fact. The first is a whole lot of looks back. The year in review stuff and all the highlights, what were your three most looked at pictures during 2015 on Facebook, that kind of stuff is all going to come in. And then the second one is the looking forward. What are some of the predictions? What's going to happen next year? What are the big events? What are the things that we're anticipating? And those moments of transition are wonderful times to just sit back and reflect a little bit. What has happened? What's going to happen? And actually, when you take a look at the Bible, and when I was at theological college, I actually did a study on this, and nearly three quarters of the Bible is written about or during times of transition. It's about Abram and his family going from being nobody, just a little Middle Eastern family somewhere, to being called by God and creating a nation. And then it's the people of Israel coming out of Egypt, going through the wilderness and into the new land. And then it's about the establishment of the kings and the kingdoms. And then it's about Jesus coming in the new covenant. And if you take those major moments of transition in history, that accounts for three quarters of the Bible that you hold in your hand. God must have understood and realized that it is at times of transition that we need him the most, that he can be involved the most in our lives. And one of those times of transition was when Moses handed over the leadership of Israel to Joshua. The people had come out of Egypt. They had got to the edge of the land. Another story for another day. They didn't go in immediately. They had been stuck in the desert for a generation. And now a new leader emerged. It was a new time. And Joshua stood up, this young leader. Well, to be honest, he wasn't so young. He was 60 when he did it, but you know, he was younger than Moses, so I suppose we call him the younger. And here's what we read. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, just by the way, that for me is one of the great lines in Scripture. It's not, you know, your mentor is now passed on. You know, it's interesting times for you now, Joshua. It's just, wake up call, Joshua. Moses is dead. Okay, right. Now let's move on. Okay, we got that, understood that, everybody? Great. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the deserts of Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates, all of the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I wonder what 2016 feels like to you. As you look ahead to the 12 months that will start next week, I wonder what it feels like for you. Do you need to have a command from God to be strong and courageous? Is 2016 a year that you're excited about? Or is 2016 a year that's just a little bit nerve-wracking? From a country perspective, we're going to have local elections. And we know that it's already started, but in an election cycle, in an election season, just things get a little bit tense. The people will be saying things, they'll be throwing accusations, there'll be attempts to destabilize the economy by both the existing government and the opposition parties just to get election fever going in the right direction. It's going to be tense. It's going to be a tough year from a country perspective. But for you, what's it going to be like? Well, I thought if you're thinking of the new year, you've got to do it properly, right? So I wondered if it would be a little bit too early for Dinkum champagne, and Jane suggested that it might. So we've got some non-alcoholic here, but we're still going to do this. Because for some of you, it's a big year, right? I wonder if there's anybody here. I wondered if I am going to just do this properly. Yeah, this is your direction, Al. Okay, be careful of this here. Okay. Let's do this. Happy New Year. Okay, there we go. Right, so there we go. So I wondered, is there anybody here this morning who is going into quite a monumental year? Maybe it's the last year of studies and you're going to be starting a career after that. Maybe it's the first year after studies, or maybe there's a new job coming up, or there's something that you just, I wanted to find the person who's most excited for 2016. So, and we are a small group today, which is what I was hoping, so we can be slightly interactive this morning. So, no, I'm coming to babies in a minute. Okay. Because I knew those would be around. And I'm pretty certain that babies, if it's your second one, it's cool, but if the second one is twins, yeah. So, I'll get to the babies in a second. I'm looking for someone who's really just, next year is going to be, I don't know, something different, something new, something exciting. Yeah. Congratulations. I hope it's a good one. Start early. Okay, now, the next one I wanted to get to, and I didn't know how many would be here, because we have quite a few of them. It seems like there's a disease going around. Having an extension to your family. You guys can share that one. Having an extension to your family is both the most exciting and most scary thing you'll ever do, right? But congratulations in advance, coming soon in the next few weeks to a house near you. 2016, extensions of families, and we're going to have lots of babies running, well, not running yet, but hopefully not too soon, but lots of babies around next year. Happy New Year, 2016. I'm not going to ask you to tell me why, but I do want you to show me your hand. Who's scared for 2016? Who looks ahead? Okay, I only have one glass. Okay, I'll have to give it to the first person who put their hand up. I'm going to give you a glass to, this is probably not a celebration, right? Because you're scared. But it is an acknowledgement that something's coming. And maybe you did want the alcoholic version to just kind of fortify yourself. Because for some people, 2016, a new year, is not something to wish to come closer, like probably the moms are especially. It's not something that we're excited about. It's something that we're nervous for, something that we're scared, daunted for. I don't know what it is, as I say, I'm not going to ask you to share with us. But how do we approach 2016? Whether it's excitement, something new, whether it's something amazing as new parents, whatever it is, how do you approach a new year and get into it? How do we do that thing that God commanded Joshua to do? How do we be strong and courageous? What are the secrets behind that? So I'll drink this when I'm finished. I want to suggest four things that we need to do. Four things that I think will help you go into 2016, whatever it holds for you. Four choices, almost, that you need to make. Over the next few days, hopefully you'll make a nice list of New Year's resolutions. You don't need to put it on your best paper because you'll have thrown it away by two Fridays' time anyway. But maybe these four things are choices or commitments or resolutions that you can take with you into the new year. And maybe these ones you can try and get to last slightly longer than some of the other ones you might put on your list. So the first choice I think would be really good for us to make into 2016 is to choose to be optimistic. This might sound like a strange place to start. I don't want this morning to kind of be a bit of pop psychology. This is not Oprah or, you know, Dr. Phil or whatever. And the Bible is not a sort of psychological textbook. But the Bible is full of instructions to choose to look at the good, to choose to look at the things that are going right, to choose to be optimistic. I really do believe that. I do believe that as Christians, we should be the optimists in our offices, in our classrooms, in our group of friends. People should say, why are you always so upbeat? Why are you always looking for the bright side of things? Why does life never seem to get you down? And I think that as Christians, we should be able to claim something around optimism. It is commanded of us that we are to be joyful in all circumstances. We are commanded that we are to look to God and not be anxious about anything. There's many different ways that you see this message coming throughout Scripture. That doesn't mean that we need to be the old sort of Pollyannas who kind of just never, ever, ever consider the negatives. We know this. We live in a country where if you want negatives, you can get them in truckloads. But it's your choice, isn't it, as to how you engage with those negatives. We're not saying ignore them. We're not saying pretend they're not there. For those of you who are scared for next year, we're not saying pretend it's not scary. But we're saying just look, choose. This is what I'm saying to you. Make a resolution to choose optimism in and amidst all the reality as well. Now, how do you do this? I don't personally do this, but I know many, many people, and many people I respect, and almost all of the very successful people I know all do this one thing, and that is they keep a gratitude journal. A gratitude journal is a very simple thing. At the end of every day, every single day, can I ask you to do this for 365 days and then tell me whether it worked or not? But at the end of every single day, you look back over the last 24 hours and you find at least one thing to be grateful for. At least one ray of sunshine. It might be the very worst day of your life. Just remember this. You have already survived 100% of your worst days. So far, so good. So even if it is the worst day you've ever had, you get to the end of the day and you open that book and at least you can say, I'm alive. That's the least. It might be just. You might even put the word, at least I'm just alive. That would be the worst day of the next 365 days. But most often you will find there's a lot more to be grateful for. Most often you'll find there's a list. There's a whole lot of bullet points. Some days you'll find you're repeating this again and again and again and again. Because life maybe isn't quite as bad as it might appear. It's easy to forget the good things if you're not focused on them. I don't keep a gratitude journal because this is something that was given to me as a challenge probably 25 years ago. And I have been able to make it a habit of optimism, a habit of believing that the best is possible. My family laughs at me because I do this in every aspect of my life, right down to where you find a parking space at the mall. I believe that the closest parking space to the entrance is open, and 90% of the time it is. Because all of you guys don't believe it, and so you're out in the outer reaches of darkness trying to say, well, this must be the best place to park. And a few people like me who believe in the positive. I'm not into the whole secret thing where if you think it will happen. It's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying choose optimism. Choose to look for the good. And keep a record of it because it really does make a difference. leave the brokenness of 2015 back here in 2015. This is the last time we'll meet together in 2015. Why don't you just leave some of it here today, right here? And just symbolically just leave it here in this room. We'll clean up the room, get it ready for 2016. It won't be here when you come back next week. One of my favorite Christmas movies is Love Actually. I don't know if you've enjoyed it. It's one of those really great movies that's also quite naughty at the same time. And when you watch it again with your young kids, you realize, oh dear, okay, maybe this was not a kids' movie. But anyway, if you haven't seen it, one of the best movies ever made, with sort of this integration of about 35 different love stories, of every type of sort of love story and triangle you can imagine. And one of the key stories is about a married couple. They get married at the beginning of the movie, and the best man seems to have a bit of a hate relationship with the bride. It doesn't seem to like the bride, never talks to her. They've kind of got a distance, but he's the best man of the groom. And in fact, some people kind of think he's got a bit of a crush on the groom as well. You know, there's a bit of a thing going on there. And as the movie unfolds, you actually realize that this guy is deeply in love with the bride. And the reason he's had this distance is because he respects his friend too much to do anything with it. And so the only way he can deal with it is to keep it in and just not even engage with her. But it comes out, obviously, and she kind of realizes this thing, and he's all embarrassed. And then he realizes, no, they're married now. This is it, and this is life, and I have to move on. And I think one of the most beautiful scenes in the movie is he goes to their house, and he pretends to be a carol singer. He's got a little CD player, and he plays carols. And then he shows her a series of cards. He doesn't speak to her. He's written stuff out. And he says to her, I love you. I love you. I've always loved you. You are just everything to me, but now I need to move on. You know, because it's Christmas, I'm telling you this, and now it's over. And he sort of walks away. She runs out and gives him a big hug and a kiss and runs back into her husband. And he turns, and his whole face changes. And it's almost like, I've done it now. That's it. She knows. I know. We can't do anything about it. We're moving on. I'm leaving it here. And then he just says, enough. Enough now. I think it's an amazing moment of just recognizing this is it. Enough. Enough now. Leave it here. 2016 is a new year. Choose optimism. The second thing I think that we should choose is to choose community. Life is not meant to be done alone. In fact, life can't be done alone. You cannot live alone on this planet. We are surrounded by people. But again, we get to choose some of those people. Now, sadly, you can't choose your family. They are there. Some of you have had that experience just in the last few days. Some of that experience is coming up. They say there's always one creepy uncle in a family, and if you don't know who it is, it's you. Can't choose family, but friends you can choose. Your community you can choose. Why don't you make a choice in 2016 to be conscious and deliberate about that tribe, that group of people that surrounds you? Cut out the negative people. There are people, you know some of these people, they drag you down. They pull you back. This is actually what had happened in the story that I read from Joshua. Moses had sent 12 young men into the land to go and scope it out, to see what this new land was about. And the 12 came back, and 10 of them were negative. 10 of them said, whoa, this is unbelievable, man. The people in that land are giants, and the land is difficult. And it's going to be a tough, tough thing for us to go into that land. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back and said, we can do this. It's tough. Yeah, we don't disagree, but we can do it and God will be with us. And so you've got the negative voices and the positive voices. And who do the people listen to? I was told a number of years ago that if you want to know what you're going to be like in 10 years' time, have a look at your friends and your bookshelf. Who are you spending time with and what are you reading? You will be like that in 10 years' time. If that's not a good look for you, if you look at your bookshelf, let's leave that to the side, but if you look at your friendship circles, you are going to become like your friends. If all your friends are negative, you will become negative. If all your friends are deadbeat losers, then you're going to go that way too. That might be harsh. But who you hang out with is who you become. So why not make 2016 the year in which you decide to be deliberate and conscious about that group of people that is allowed into your life on a regular basis? Where you can, begin to minimize the time you spend with people who are not a good influence on you. You know who these people are and you know the reasons. See if you can bring new people into your life if you need to, or just make more of the people who are already there, who are positive influences in your life. When you have a braai, when you have people around for drinks or for a dinner, don't just do chit-chat the whole evening. Can you think back over 2015 and think of the amazing evenings of insight and depth of conversation and advancement of humanity and growth of emotional intelligence that you've had? Or has it all just been gossip and meaningless chit-chat nonsense? Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have times where it's just fun and laughter and jokes and nonsense and forgettable stuff. But why don't you be intentional? Why don't you at least once a month attempt to get those good people in your lives together into your life? And do something deliberate around a dinner table. Put 5 questions out. Even put them out in advance. What's the best book you've read in the last 6 months? You know, what's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to you? Tell us a story about somebody else in the room. Just get people to have a depth of conversation in 2016 that maybe has been missing in your life in 2015. Be part of this church. And that's what we try to do. That's what home groups are about, a weekly time of getting together where we do have those conversations, deliberately, intentionally have deeper, more meaningful conversations. We use the Bible as a basis to help us to do that. But it's really just an excuse at one level to get together, to talk about what it is to do life properly and to do it together. Maybe you want to go back to the sermon series. I thought one of the best things we did as a church this last year was that series, This Is My Church, or series with the various sermons from people. Go back and listen to those. They're all on the church website. You can download them, both the ones that were preached at Glen Furness and the ones that were preached here. So it's a lovely series to go back and listen to. And I think that would be a wonderful way to get yourself thinking in the right frame for the next year. So choose community, your personal community, and choose this church community and get involved. The third thing I think you need to choose for this coming year is to choose faith, to choose to believe. Faith is defined probably best in the Bible, in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews 11 is a wonderful chapter. Hebrews 11 and 12 is a wonderful place to go. And in fact, we're going to be doing a sermon series based on that starting in the new year. Jane will be preaching a sermon next Sunday, and then the service after that, we start this new series. In fact, faith is something we're going to look at in a lot of detail over the next few weeks. And what is faith? We're going to ask that question, answer that question, and learn how to develop our faith. But for this morning, very simply, faith is not a mystical feeling. Faith is not sort of believing in a magical genie who can solve all of your problems. It's not learning a spell, you know, abracadabra, and you can fix all of your issues. Faith, as it's defined there in Hebrews, is being certain of what we hope for and sure of what we do not see. It is that deep, abiding belief that God is with us. It's actually what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about God becoming human. And for me, I reflected just 2 days ago on Christmas. I put this up on my Facebook page. That Jesus didn't come into this world and there was just this massive explosion of light and then everything was perfect. Jesus was born at a rough time in history. 4 years before he was born, the Romans had invaded his country. They were now this brutal, oppressive army. There were curfews all over the place. People were scared. People had been moved. There were refugees all over the place. We can relate to that, right? Just a few months after he was born, Jesus' family actually became refugees. They had to flee to Egypt to escape the Herod, as it happened, but the Roman might of the Roman Empire. And they were Middle Eastern refugees. One of my favorite little memes this past Christmas has been a reminder to all of the Americans who were saying, let's not let any Syrian refugees into our country. That as they put up their nativity scenes on their mantelpieces, to be reminded that Jesus was a Middle Eastern refugee fleeing a war-torn country, looking for a safe place to come and live. Jesus didn't come into a perfect family. His mother was a teenage, single woman who had fallen pregnant out of wedlock, had brought sort of the shame on her family because, you know, you can explain the story. You know, imagine your teenage daughter falls pregnant and then comes and says, well, this angel and Holy Spirit. You go, yeah, okay, what's his name? Who's the guy? You know, so she's this young girl. She's scared. We don't know much about Joseph. We don't know. We assume he was a reasonably good father. Our best guess is he probably died fairly soon. When Jesus was sort of in his teen years, we certainly is not alive while Jesus is ministering. We don't know, but it was this pieced together family. Jesus was adopted, if you can think of it that way, adopted by Joseph. So it wasn't this perfect family. It wasn't a perfect country. King Herod was an odious, corrupt ruler who brought every kind of gathered all of the money. From people, overtaxed the people, grabbed their money. Rome basically gave him a number, and they said, you have to give us this amount every month. But he would gather between 10 and 20 times more than that and keep it for himself. I'm not sure there's any modern analogy to that. Anyway, not all of the story is relevant. God knows this world. He knows it because he was here. He doesn't know it just because he created it. He doesn't know it just because he's watching it. He doesn't know it just because he's God. He knows it because he was here. And he didn't fix everything. He didn't get rid of the Roman oppression. In fact, the Romans came in a few years after he had left, and they destroyed the temple. They decimated Jerusalem. He didn't fix everything. God's not a magical genie in the sky who makes everything right. God's not going to take away the scary bits of 2016. But he is going to be there with you. That's what faith is. Faith is the belief that God is with us. The belief that God will never give us anything more than we can deal with because we are with him in the things that need to be dealt with. He doesn't say he's going to take those things away, but he does say, I will be there with you when they happen. Whatever 2016 brings, God is going to be with you every step of the way. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 is the verse that my grandparents wrote into the Bible that was given to me on the day I was born. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He won't walk those paths for you. He will walk them with you. Choose faith. Choose this life partnership between you and God. Which leads then to the final point in 2016, and that is to choose Jesus. This is the Christmas season still. We're 2 days away. Let's not forget what the season is about. It's not about trees and traditions and presents and Christmas lunch and leftovers, which is what you're all eating today, I'm sure. It's not even about family. It's about Jesus. A baby who was born, who would be the king, who would be the priest and the prophet and the savior of the world. At Grace Point, we often talk about the line of faith. You don't have to have crossed that line of faith to be part of our community. You can belong before you believe in this church. We know that believing is a journey. And wherever you are in the journey, you're welcome here. But there is a line of faith. And life is better when you've crossed it. It's easier to choose optimism and joy. It's easier to be part of a community. It's easier to have faith when you have given your life to Jesus. It's not a magical thing that you do. There's no formula. There's no mystical words you have to learn. It's just very simply to say, my life is not my own. My life will be better if Jesus is in charge of it. The things that I don't want to do and find myself doing, I ask forgiveness for those things, and I ask Jesus' help to not do them anymore. And that the things that I want to do and I just find I don't do, well, I ask for His help for those things as well. In 2016, those of you who have not crossed the line of faith, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to cross that line. You don't have to wait till 2016 to do it either. You could do it now. But for those of us who have crossed that line of faith, maybe 2016 is a time to remind ourselves that we need more of Jesus in our lives as well. Maybe it's a time to get back into that daily reading of the Bible. Maybe it's a time to put that commitment to having more time with Jesus into each day, into each week of our lives. Different people do this in different ways. I'm not the type of person who has the same routine every day. So I don't have a devotional at a particular time of the day. That just doesn't work for me from a personality perspective. But I need to remind myself that I've only got 24 hours. It's going to be filled with stuff. If I fill it with all the stuff that needs to be done, with all the stuff the boss asks me to do, with all the stuff the team needs me to do, with all the stuff my clients need, with all the stuff my family needs, with all the stuff that everything in my life needs, I could easily get through 24 hours and not have any space for Jesus at all. And if I don't work out where I'm going to put Jesus in first, I could easily miss Him. So how do you put Jesus in? And put Him in first. How do you make sure you get more of Him in? Because if He's going to take up some of that 24 hours, then some of the stuff that's in that 24 hours, you're not going to be able to do. And I hope it's all the negative stuff, all the stuff that wasn't useful anyway, that you end up not having time for. So make more time for Jesus so that there's not enough time for all the stuff that's not helpful, that's not edifying, that's not building. I don't know if that's useful, but those are four things I want to try and do in 2016. Those are four things that are going on my New Year's resolutions list this year. And hopefully they will be on yours as well. At least you'll consider them. Philippians 4, a letter written by Paul to the church at Philippi, says this in verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me read that again. Won't you close your eyes and think about my first question this morning? What's 2016 got in store for you? Whether it's exciting, whether it's exciting and a little bit scary, whether it's scary or very scary, do not be anxious about anything. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and will guard your minds.